Continuing discussion of Vishnu Sahasranama, name 897, Sanat, with particular reference to the meaning of this name, that Vishnu, Krishna, is time. Just keep a watch with me when I'm giving these talks. Time, or consciousness of time, is omnipresent in our lives, especially in this modern, packed up, busy world where we have many things to do. In the last session, last time, I read from Kunti Devi's prayers, Mane Twam Kalam Ishanam Anadi Nidhanam Vibhum Samang Charantam Sarvatra Bhutanam Yanmita Kalihi. My Lord, I consider your Lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller without beginning and end, the all-pervasive one. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse. As I said in the last talk when I quoted this, there's so much packed into this verse and purport that it could be a topic of much extended discussion. I thought about it more after giving that talk, and although much, much could be said, there are a few points I want to make in relation to Krishna as time. I'll just read some points from the purport again, Srila Prabhupada's purport, and I request you to listen very carefully to see how Krishna as Paramatma, as time, is intimately involved with the journeyings of the conditioned soul through the material world, getting our reactions to activities. I did discuss this somewhat last time. I'll discuss it a little more now. Extracts from the purport. Another name of the Paramatma feature of the Lord is Kala, or eternal time. Eternal time is the witness of all our actions, good and bad, and thus resultant reactions are destined by Him. So we make our destiny under the guidance of the Supreme Lord. There is increasingly in the Western world an awareness of the concept of karma, but what is largely missing is understanding that there is an overseer of all of this, who is Krishna. Let's go on. It's no use saying that we do not know why and for what we are suffering. We may forget the misdeed for which we may suffer at this present moment, but we must remember that Paramatma is our constant companion, and therefore he knows everything, past, present, and future. The Paramatma feature of Lord Krishna destines all actions and reactions. He is the supreme controller also. As we have miseries without calling for them, so we have happiness also without asking for it, because it is all predestined by Kala. Everyone is suffering and enjoying the result of his own destiny. This destiny is made by the living beings in course of social intercourse. Yeah, karmic reactions, by interacting with this world, we do good and bad, and this is especially in relation to other living beings. We may wonder, what did I do? Why is so-and-so being so harsh to me? But then we can think that it's all ordained by time. It's something that we have to undergo at the present time. Krishna has arranged for this suffering to come to me at this present time. It's what Krishna sees that I need in my onward journey. Time brings together friends and enemies. We see in the narration of Chitraketu in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam how Chitraketu was very anxious to get a child, to get a son. He eventually got a son who was the cause of his great delight. But then the son died and became the cause of his great sorrow. The sorrow he felt prior to not having a son was replaced by delight on getting a son, but then worse sorrow upon losing the son. And as the commentators reveal, Srila Prabhupada also notes, that it may be that an enemy takes birth in our family to give us trouble. Or someone may be married, their spouse, and one harasses and abuses the other so much, or maybe they mutually harass and abuse each other. Previously, throughout most of the world, people didn't divorce, even if they had a terrible relationship, with the understanding that this life is just one life. It's something that we've gotten into, and it's something we have to go through at this time. Accept your lot. I remember one of my uncles, when he said this to me in relation to marriage, we just have to accept our lot, that's all. It's meted out to us. We see that this is our present position in time. This is what I have to go through. If I try to avoid it now, I'll have to go through it at some other point in time and tolerate. Remembering one of Lord Krishna's first instructions in Bhagavad Gita, Matra Spar. Oh, actually, this comes right after Krishna explains how we change bodies at the time of death. We go from boyhood to youth to old age, then we die with the understanding that we get another birth. And then Krishna says, Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukha daha agama payano nityastangs tatikshasva bharata. Krishna compares happiness and distress to the heat of summer and the cold of winter. We can make some protection against the heat by going in the shade. We can take some protection against the cold by living in a house. But we can't stop the heat and the cold. It's something which is ordained. But at the same time, we know that the heat won't last forever. It's time-bound. The terrible heat which we experience here in India for much of the year, we know that it will come to an end. And then there'll be the cold season, and we have to tolerate that. In much of Russia or Canada, it's the cold season is long and intense, and the heat is not very long. But either way, a sober person, Krishna uses in the verse prior to the one I just quoted, the word dhira, a sober person. And he uses the same word dhira in the next verse. A sober person knows that this period of suffering caused by heat or cold will surely come to an end in due course of time. And thus he tolerates it. There's nothing I can do about it. I can make some little adjustments here and there, but overall I have to tolerate it. And he also knows that this period of time, this heat or cold, it will come to an end, but then again it will come. So that is the nature of the material world. We can't avoid suffering, and in course of time, happiness will come also. Such a stoic outlook, where one tolerates, qualifies a person for eternal liberation, get free from this suffering and happiness which come and go again and again. Agama comes. Apayano goes away. Anitta, it's all temporary. Therefore, tangs to tikshasva bharata. Therefore, Arjuna, Krishna says, just tolerate it. So in the next verse in Gita, Krishna says, yang hina vyatantyate purushang purushar shabha samadukha sukham dhiram somritat vaya kalpate. So, yang hina vyatantyate purushang purushar shabha. Actually, the word dhira doesn't come in this verse. It comes just after that. This steadiness, Krishna says, one who is steady and undisturbed, he be in happiness and distress. It's a theme which Krishna expounds on more in Gita as he goes on explaining. Such a person is eligible for immortality. In other words, going beyond time. It's such steadiness in happiness and distress is certainly not easy to attain, but it comes naturally for a devotee who adopts the attitude which is recommended for devotees. And Srila Prabhupada says that this verse should be the motto of all devotees. Tattenu kampansu samikshamano bhunjana evatna kritang vipapang vipakam. Tattenu kampansu samikshamano bhunjana evatna kritang vipakam hridvagva pubhir vidadhan namaste jivita yo muktipade sadaya bhag. A person who thinks that now I'm suffering, it's ordained for me, it's something that has to come to me, I deserve it, and just accepts that situation, but goes on in that situation, dedicating his life fully to hearing and chanting about Krishna, becomes eligible for getting Krishna's mercy. He sees the suffering as Krishna's mercy, and he becomes eligible for getting Krishna's mercy in the form of going back to Godhead, going beyond time, going to the spiritual world. So this discussion of time, it's not simply theoretical. It's meant to ground us in our present situation within space and time and realize that we are constitutionally beyond space and time, and to give us some philosophical insight which can be practically applied so that we can go beyond space and time to the timeless world, the spiritual world, the world of Krishna. Now, I'm going to read a section from the Bhagavatam, from the third canto, a profound section which could be the subject of much scientific inquiry. From chapter 10, Vidura uvacha yatata bahu rupasya harer adbhuta karmanaha kala kyang lakshanang brahman yata varnaya na prabhu. Vidura inquired from Maitreya, O my lord, O greatly learned sage, kindly describe eternal form, which is another form of the Supreme Lord, the wonderful actor. What are the symptoms of that eternal time? Please describe them to us in detail. So if you want to know in detail about how Krishna manifests as time, we can read this section from Canto 3, Chapter 10 of Bhagavatam. I'm just going to take some extracts from it. From Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse, the complete universe is a manifestation of varieties of entities beginning from the atoms up to the gigantic universe itself, and all is under the control of the Supreme Lord in his form of Kala or eternal time. The controlling time has different dimensions in relation to particular physical embodiments. What does that mean? Srila Prabhupada explains. There is a time for atomic dissolution and a time for the universal dissolution. There is a time for the annihilation of the body of the human being, and there is a time for the annihilation of the universal body. We'll get back to this topic of how time prescribes various kinds of annihilation. We'll get back to that. Continuing from the purport, also growth, development, and resultant actions all depend on the time factor. The next verse from Bhagavatam, Maitreya Uvacha, Guna Vyatika Rakaro, Nirvishesho Pratishtitaha, Purushastad Upadanam, Atmanam Lilaya Srijat. See, simply learning Sanskrit, which is a big job in itself, will not help us to properly understand these verses, because there's so much deep philosophical import in them. We really have to be trained to understand the concepts behind this, to understand it. Srila Prabhupada is training us by unpacking these verses and giving purports. So Maitreya replies to Vidura, eternal time is the primeval source of the interactions of the three modes of material nature. It is unchangeable and limitless, and it works as the instrument of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his pastimes in the material creation. Now I'm going to read the whole purport. It is a little long. Please listen very carefully. The impersonal time factor is the background of the material manifestation as the instrument of the Supreme Lord. It is the ingredient it is the ingredient of assistance offered to material nature. No one knows where time began and where it ends. And it is time only which can keep a record of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material manifestation. The time factor is the material cause of creation and is therefore a self-expansion of the personality of Godhead. Time is considered the impersonal feature of the Lord. The time factor is also explained by modern men in various ways. In the first in this series of talks, I discussed some of those various ways. Quite complex, quite insightful, in some cases quite speculative. So time, some accept it almost as it is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, in Hebrew literature, here Srila Prabhupada is referring to the Bible, the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament, time is accepted in the same spirit as a representation of God. It is stated therein, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Metaphysically, time is distinguished as absolute and real. Absolute time is continuous and is unaffected by the speed or slowness of material things. Time is astronomically and mathematically calculated in relation to the speed, change, and life of a particular object. Factually, however, time has nothing to do with the relativities of things. Rather, everything is shaped and calculated in terms of the facility offered by time. Time is the basic measurement of the activity of our senses by which we calculate past, present, and future, but in factual calculation, time has no beginning and no end. This topic isn't easy, but in relatively easy terms, Srila Prabhupada here addresses many of the philosophical speculations which I touched upon, didn't go into detail upon them, but I touched upon in the first series in the first of this series of talks. Continuing this purport, Charanakya Pandit says that even a slight fraction of time cannot be purchased with millions of dollars, and therefore even a moment of time lost without profit must be calculated as the greatest loss in life. Time is not subject to any form of psychology, nor are the moments objective realities in themselves, but they are dependent on particular experiences. Here Srila Prabhupada gives the authoritative Vedic Vaishnava understanding in relation to this particular aspect of understanding time. And again, philosophers and scientists have their various speculations about this. Continuing reading from the purport, therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami concludes that the time factor is intermixed with the activities, actions, and reactions of the external energy of the Lord. The external energy, or material nature, works under the superintendence of the time factor as the Lord himself. And that is why material nature appears to have produced so many wonderful things in the cosmic manifestation. The Bhagavad Gita confirms this conclusion as follows. Maya dhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagadviparivartate. Going on to the next verse. Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 10, Text 13. Yate danin tatagre cha paschad apyetad idrisham. As this cosmic manifestation is now, it was the same in the past, and it will continue in the same way in the future. This is monumental. Our parochial vision of the importance of our situation, the uniqueness of our situation. Charles Dickens just came to my mind. Charles Dickens opening one of his classic books, A Tale of Two Cities, states, it was the best of times and the worst of times. He was referring to France during the revolutionary period. And more broadly, Europe in general, especially those countries closer to France, who were affected by the revolutionary spirit. It was the best of times and the worst of times. Yeah, not really. Yeah, the historical, political effects, social effects of the French Revolution continue to reverberate throughout society, with the Western society in particular, up to the present day. It was truly a watershed moment in the history of the Western world, but then it's all happened before. There's nothing new under the sun. It's also from the Bible. Nothing new under the sun. It's just a somewhat different manifestation of the same kind of thing that goes on in different creations of the Lord, creation, maintenance, destruction. We'll get through to discussing that also. Cyclical time, the Vedic understanding of cyclic time. Anyway, let's read the translation of this again. As the cosmic manifestation is now, it was the same in the past, and it will continue in the same way in the future. Purport, there is a systematic schedule for the perpetual manifestation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material world, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhuta gramam imam kritsnam avashang prakriter vashat. As it is created now and as it will be destroyed later on, so also it existed in the past and again will be created, maintained, and destroyed in due course of time. Therefore, the systematic activities of the time factor are perpetual or eternal. and cannot be stated to be false. The manifestation is temporary and occasional, but it is not false as claimed by the Mayavadi philosophers. So Srila Prabhupada is weighing in on the claim of Mayavadis that the material manifestation is false. Srila Prabhupada states here that under the ordinance of time, everything is created, maintained, and destroyed. So it's not false. Something's going on. In one sense, as Srila Prabhupada elsewhere explains, it can be considered false, like a will-o'-the-wisp or the image seen in a kaleidoscope. It's false in as much as it's temporary, chimeric. But it has existence at a certain level. Here is a quote from Sanatana Goswami's commentary on the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, as translated by His Holiness Bhanu Swami Maharaj. This is Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text 22. The word swa, meaning my own, in the phrase svakala shaktya. Svakala shaktya. Sva means own, my own, kala time, shaktya, by the agency of kala shaktya, by the agency of my energy of time. So is used to indicate that time is also subservient to Krishna. So time is Krishna, but it's also subservient to him. Now, I'm going to read from Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text 46. We're discussing here, we've been through various secular approaches to understanding time, and now taking quotes, especially from Srila Prabhupada's translation and purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vidya Bhagavata Vadi, the ultimate limit of knowledge is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're discussing kala, time, in the context in which it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text 46 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Above the modes of nature is eternal time, which is called kala. Why is it called kala? Because it changes the shape of everything in the material world. Even if we are able to do something temporarily beneficial, time will see that the good project is frustrated in course of time. The only thing possible to be done is to get rid of eternal time, kala, which is compared to kala sarpa, or the cobra snake, whose bite is always lethal. No one can be saved from the bite of a cobra. The best remedy for getting out of the clutches of the cobra-like kala, or its integrity, the modes of nature, is bhakti yoga, as it is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita. So kala sarpa. Kala means time. Sarpa means snake. Kala also means black. So we have here kala sarpa. And Srila Prabhupada has referred to the cobra. Most of the cobras that I have seen are silvery color or greenish color. There may be black ones also. The really very dangerous black snake, which just the other day, actually it was before Mangalati, as we were going to bathe in the darkness, a crate came out. It's a black snake. Very dangerous. If you're bitten by one, very unlikely you're going to live. If you're bitten by a cobra, if you can get the serum quickly enough, you might live. But with a crate, so this black snake, it's black with some little white thin white lines. So very, very dangerous. So it's the same thing with time. We can't get free from the bite of time. Whatever we're doing will be destroyed. Everything in this world will be destroyed. All things must pass. So we may think, I'm doing something, I'm doing very good work, I'm doing welfare work. Or isn't so-and-so doing good work? But it'll all be destroyed in course of time. And you may say, well, at least I helped someone to be happy for some time. But it's something like giving a meal to a person who's going to be executed the next morning. What would you like to eat? You ask someone who's scheduled to be executed the next morning. You go to his prison cell and say, well, what would you like to eat? You can't enjoy anything if you know that you're going to be killed the next morning. So the whole idea of trying to help others on the mundane platform is based on ignorance, that we can't really help others. Everything we do to try to help will be destroyed, unless we help people spiritually, to come to the spiritual platform, because that is eternal. Neha bikramanasho sti pratyavayana vidyate svabham apyasya dharma satrayate mahato bhayat. On this path of the spiritual dharma, there is no loss or diminution, because any progress made on this path will never be lost. Another consideration, if we think of Kaal destroying everything, is that there will always be injustice in the world. There will always be disparity. There are so many campaigns for justice. There's so much injustice in the world at the present time in so many forms. But we can campaign as much as we like. And maybe we'll have a little success in our campaign. Maybe some of the, for instance, some of the war criminals who have, by their lies, caused thousands of deaths and untold further suffering, maybe they will be brought to justice in courts of law. Doesn't seem very likely. But war crimes are going on right now. And will continue, because there will always be injustice in this world, especially in the present godless age. You can't stop it. It's no use trying to rectify the position of the world. This is very controversial to say this. Well, shouldn't we join environmental campaigns to stop the climate change? Shouldn't we bring in socialism to stop the rich getting richer and richer and the poor getting poorer and poorer? Doesn't it make sense to do all these kind of things? Yes, but if we understand the mighty influence of time, we can understand how superficial it all is. It's like if someone has a boil, anyone who's had a boil knows it is extremely painful. You can blow on it. It might give some very slight and temporary relief. Yeah, it's controversial to say this, but the real point is that we should understand that as long as we are in the world of time, we have to suffer. We can't stop the basic condition of this world. So the real thing is to go beyond time. I'm reading now from Canto 3, Chapter 29, Text 45 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Listen out for the word Kala here. So nonta karakalo nadiradi kridavyayaha janang janena janayan marayan mrityunantakam. Very poetic here. We have a lot of alliteration in this verse. we have here the first word, saha, that. Ananta, endless. The next word is antakara. Ananta means without end, and antakara means that which brings about an end. Kalaha, time. Anadi, without beginning, also relating to time. Adikrit, the creator, the one who makes a beginning. So here we have time is endless, but it destroys. Time is endless and without a beginning, but it destroys that which is subject to destruction. It is adikrit, it makes a beginning of everything, but it itself, and it destroys everything, but time itself is avyayaha, not liable to change and inexhaustible. Janam janena janayan. Janam means persons, janena means by persons, and janayan means creating. Marayan means destroying, killing. Mrityuna, mrityuna, by death, antakam, the lord of death. Antakam means the lord of death, one who brings to an end. So it's very poetic and meaningful. The translation, the eternal time factor has no beginning and no end. It is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the maker of the criminal world. It brings about the end of the phenomenal world. It carries on the work of creation by bringing one individual into existence from another. And likewise, it dissolves the universe by destroying even the Lord of Death, Yamaraja. So here we have many important terms. Ananta, Antakara, Kala, Anadi, Adikrit, Avyayaha, Antakam. They're all interrelated. Important to understand that like Krishna and time, which is Anadi and beginningless, Ananta, endless, and avyaya, non-expending, the jiva is also anadi, beginningless, ananta, endless, and avyaya, non-expending. So, what do we get from all of this? We don't belong in this world of time. Time is a superimposition upon us, which we have accepted because we want to enjoy separately from Krishna. From the very meaningful purport to this verse, by the influence of eternal time, which is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Father begets a son, janena janayan, janam janena janayan. Persons are created by persons. By the influence of time, the father begets a son, and the father dies by the influence of cruel death. But by time's influence, even the lord of cruel death is killed. In other words, all the demigods within the material world are temporary like ourselves. Our lives last for 100 years at the most, and similarly, although their lives may last for millions and billions of years, the demigods are not eternal. No one can live within this material world eternally. The phenomenal world is created, maintained, and destroyed by the finger signal of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The finger signal. Krishna just lifts his finger. Okay, create. Destroy. Krishna is so powerful. Therefore, a devotee does not desire anything in this material world. Hearing all of this, we should become detached from everything. Don't desire anything here. Then what should we desire? A devotee desires only to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This servitude exists eternally. Nitai charana sakta tahara shevaka nitta. Nityananda is eternal. Sorry, Nityananda is the truth. And his servitor is eternal. This servitude exists eternally. The Lord exists eternally. His servitor exists eternally, and the service exists eternally. So the Lord and the servant, the attitude of service and the service itself, it's all eternal. Everything else is destroyed by time, the relentless destroyer. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 4, discusses the four kinds of annihilation: constant, occasional, material, and final. And the chanting of the holy name of Lord Hari, which is the only means of stopping the cycle of material life. So what are these four kinds of annihilation? Well, we have the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwarapa, and Kali. 1,000 cycles of these four ages constitute one day of Brahma. Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyad Brahmano Viduhu. And each day of Brahma, called a Kalpa, contains within it the lifetimes of 14 Manus. The duration of Brahma's night is the same as that of his day. During his night, Brahma sleeps and the three planetary systems meet destruction. This is the nimitic or occasional annihilation. So, 1,000 ages, then Brahma goes to sleep. At that time, all the planets up to the Mahaloka, the planet Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, the planets of the rishis, they remain intact. But below that, the Swargaloka, the heavenly planets, the Bhubhuvaswa, the higher worlds, the middle worlds, and the lower worlds, they're all destroyed. This is called an occasional annihilation, naimitic. When Brahma's lifespan of 100 years is finished, there occurs the prakritic or total material annihilation. When the seven elements of material nature, that means here it's referring to the coverings over the universe, everything, the whole material nature is completely destroyed, and then everything enters into the body of Mahavishnu. And then again it comes out again. So that's the prakritic or total material annihilation. There's another kind of annihilation which goes on at every moment. Every moment, time is destroying. Whatever situation we're in now is always changing. Even if I sit like this, there are so many cells within my body changing. Change means what was, even the slightest change means what was there previously is not there now. You can't step into the same river twice. It's not exactly the same. So that is constant, ongoing annihilation of everything in this material world. And there's the ultimate, adhyantika, final annihilation, when the living being, when he sees factual reality, that I am not, or I shouldn't be bound by time, then he becomes free. And his material existence, his bondage to material existence, is destroyed. That is the final annihilation. When one sees that time is causing constant destruction, constant, repeated birth and death, birth and death, birth and death, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Seeing that even up to Brahma, everyone is subject to death. Koto Chaturananam Mari Mari Jautu, the poet Vidyapati, I believe, sings that how many Brahmas have been born and died. But we should see that material life means, in the course of time, birth and death, bringing into being, being destroyed, and therefore we have to hear about Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nitaya chunakam padayo nipatya kritva chakaku shatam etad aham ravimi he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad gauranga chandra charane kuruta anuraga Parivaditu jano yata tata va nanu mukarona vayam vichare yamaha Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vinotama nartama nirmishava Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare